I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, it warms my heart, the guest we have this week. Please let everyone know who is joining us.
Get your cockles ready. She's a writer and comedian who's worked on Superstore, Keenan, and Happy Endings. It's Jackie Clark.
Yay.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for doing this.
Thank you. Jackie, are you a big fan of Christmas?
Yes, I didn't realize that it was like super anti-Semitic to tell all your Jewish friends, like, don't you just miss the tree? Don't you just, you don't do Santa? Like, I had no idea. But that is
how could you miss it if you never had it, right?
I guess. But you see it around, right?
Right. It's in the zeitgeist.
It's hard to avoid.
Are you a big decorator? Like, do you like to decorate for Christmas?
Oh, my husband and I are like psycho. Yeah. Like our entire garage is, he bought like a 6-foot nutcracker with a drum, but something was wrong with it. So we had to send it back. And I'm not kidding when I say it was 600 pounds. And the UPS guy was like, I have to take this where? Like, we are relentless. We also, my husband and I maybe didn't have the best childhood. I remember as a child opening presents, and I'm the middle child of three, and my stepmom, normally it's like the kids just have a ton, and my stepmom would be opening many, many, many presents after all the kids were done. So we're
sure.
My parents sometimes do that. We'll have Christmas like at my brother's, but then my parents come over, but they also bring over the presents they're giving each other. And we're like, you guys could have done this at home. Yeah, you know, we're all done. My parents are still giving each other gifts.
Yeah. This is private.
And it's like a pair of gloves and like a silly little like, oh.
A silly little thing.
Yeah. Oh, pillow with a saying.
Mostly little pills.
Yeah.
Do you guys do a lot of lawn ornament stuff or is it all indoors?
It's both. So we have, and then we also expanded on Halloween this year because of the pandemic. So
you
we went
it.
Crazy. So we did some inflatables for Halloween, but yeah, it's outdoors. We hire someone to decorate our house.
Really?
Oh, I didn't know that. Our capabilities.
Oh, wow. You didn't ask for my resume, but okay. there's a house on my street that still has Christmas decorations up in March. Like they go.
That is unacceptable.
They have, they also have levels. Like they have.
There's levels to it.
Like by the time it gets to July, like January, they take some stuff down, but there's still a lot of stuff there. And then usually for most of the year, it's mostly just like stars and angels, which you're like, I guess those are evergreen, but they definitely.
I understand it, but you want it to feel special. I'm kind of, my husband is pretty it's like the day after Thanksgiving, I feel like we start to decorate or right around then. And then kind of the day after Christmas, it all comes down.
You don't wait through New Year's?
Actually, we do make it through New Year's. But he's like, as soon as it's done, it's done. We're done with this.
I try to do right before New Year's so that like when you wake up on New Year's Day, you're like, okay, the slate is blank.
Yeah, I think that's a good plan.
That's harsh. I do think it's very sad for like a Christmas tree with no presents though. After it's had a great run and now it's meaningless. What's the point of it?
You see the needles, you see where like the detritus from like trying to scavenge for the presents. Yes, it does feel.
I just
feel,
see the flaws.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like the one night stand. You're like, why are you still here?
Yeah, read the room.
It's almost noon. Read Get
it's
out.
Over.
Get out.
Well, you know, speaking of Christmas in July, we're talking about a Christmas movie in quotes. We're talking about White Christmas. John, what's the deal with White Christmas?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with White Christmas. It was directed by Michael Curtiz, written by Norman Krasna, Norman Panama, and Melvin Frank, with songs by Irving Berlin. And singers Bob Wallace and Phil Davis join sister act Betty and Judy Haynes to perform a Christmas show in rural Vermont. There, they run into General Waverly, the boy's commander in World War II, who they learn is having financial difficulties. His quaint country inn is failing. So what's the foursome to do but plan a Yuletide miracle, a fun-filled musical extravaganza that's sure to put Waverly and his business in the black. It stars Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye, Rosemary Clooney, Vera Ellen, and Dean Jagger. It premiered on October 14th, 1954, and was the first movie to be shot using Paramount's new VistaVision process. It just means high resolution and a wider screen. It was enormously popular with audiences. It earned $30 million, which is, as far as I can tell, would be close to like $300 million today, making it the top moneymaker of 1954 and the highest grossing musical at the time. Variety wrote, White Christmas should be a natural at the box office, introducing, as it does, Paramount's new VistaVision system with such a hot combination as Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye, and an Irving Berlin score. The song Count Your Blessings Instead of Sheep was nominated for the Best Song Oscar, but it lost to Three Coins in the Fountain. And that is
That's the
deal
one that was nominated.
With
that
White Christmas.
Nominated.
Well, the song White Christmas won the Oscar for the movie Holiday Inn a few years previously.
Which
so
is
White Christmas was ineligible.
It's a problematic.
Very problematic.
And there's nothing wrong with White Christmas. So Jackie, we asked you to pick a movie. Why White Christmas? And why in July?
Well, so you guys have done a lot of movies.
True.
And I want, okay, so first of
We've
all,
done
I
most
rewatched
of the movies.
It. You've done most of the movies.
Yeah.
I rewatched it. It is not a good film. It's a bad film.
Oh, no.
It's a bad
Why
film.
Did you remember liking it?
So when Sam, my husband is from Indiana, his parents are very old. They're almost 90. And so when they visit, we have to watch things that are very like anodyne. I remember watching a version of A Christmas Carol. It's like a black and white version that it's like a British version. And
oh,
I remember his, yes. And his mom kept saying how attracted she was to Scrooge.
Wow.
Which was uncomfortable for so many reasons. Yeah. But one of them was White Christmas. And I really love, like I had this experience going to the Liberace Museum when
Go
it was
on.
Still in Vegas. And I love things that are so gay, but also just fabulous and like entertaining, but the gayness just like goes over people from the Midwest in a way they don't realize. Like I remember standing
John
in the
gets
Liberace
that complaint
movie.
A lot.
People in the Midwest, Midwest women are constantly hitting on me.
I'm sure they are. You're very polite. You're well-groomed. I mean,
I always offer them a drink, somewhere to sit. Yeah.
Oh, totally. Well, I told you that so my husband's from Indiana. This is very rude of me. But and anytime we travel to Indiana, I always say, can't wait to be one of the top 10 most attractive people in the entire state. It's ungenerous and untrue. But it was more true years ago when I started saying it. But we watched, oh yeah, so it was at the Liberace Museum. I remember standing next to this guy and he just kept saying, like, just marveling at all these pianos and the ensembles. Mm-hmm. And he's like, that guy was an entertainer. Like, that's
That's coded. Is that coded?
That is
maybe.
Very coded.
Does he know it's? I went to the Liberace. It's gone now. They tore it down.
Very gone.
But when I went, there was like two. It looked like two grandmas, two sisters, or something. And they had like their grandson with them, like this 17-year-old kid who had no idea what was happening. But the grandmas were delighted in every little nugget. The tour guide would say, "There's like thousands Swarovski crystals on that," and they'd be like, "Oh my god!" Like everything was a mind. Ending revelation.
He must have been strong to carry that cape. So we watched White Christmas for the first time, and I will say there's some like really spectacular dancing in this. There's some spectacular musical numbers. The story is terrible. The central love story is between Bing Crosby and Rosemary Clooney, and there is no chemistry there.
No.
I mean, none. But it was wild watching it with my in-laws, because I was like, do they know how gay this is? Like, do they know? And they don't, obviously, and they're 90. But like, I like that it operates on these two levels. I wish it were better, though. Like, I wish it were a little, I mean, the story is really boring, and it's a full 2 hours.
It is 2 hours on the nose, yeah.
There's barely any credits. You can't even blame it on the end credits.
No. Not that
this
Marvel
is one of those movies,
right?
Yeah, you watch like a Marvel movie. Oh, like the last 12 minutes or end credits, I can check out. But this one, they're taking it right to the wire.
Right. I love that about old movies. Like when they get to the end, they're like, "Here are the main players, and go home.
Go home. Get out."
So, how many times have you seen White Christmas? Would you say?
I've only seen it maybe 3 times.
Okay.
And then the last time I saw it by my, and it is that it's again another one night stand feeling. You're like, oh god, in my head, I was like, this is such a, oh, this is a really clever pick. And then I watched it like in the cold light of day and I was like, oh, this movie's terrible. You guys have seen it though, right?
Well, let's find out, John. What's your backstory with White Christmas?
So I had thought I had seen it before because I have, not to brag, but I saw it on stage when it made its premiere.
I don't think anyone considers that a brag,
John. Oh, I was, here we go. I was doing summer stock in St. Louis, and the first time it was on stage at the St. Louis Muni, which if you don't know that theater, it is the largest outdoor theater in the world. It literally, it seats like 12,000 people, I think. Like, it's enormous. And so- too many people. So shows only run like a week there, but I was working at a different theater and some people I knew were in it, so I went to see it. And of course, I was like, it was literally like watching a show happen across the street from you. That's how far away it was. So I had assumed I'd seen the movie. I'm watching it today when I finally watched it. I was like, I don't think I have seen this. I have to say, like, I found it charming. I totally get, like, it's old and there's a lot of it's creaky and there is no chemistry at all with any of the four leads whatsoever. I mean,
even the gay kid, like even Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye, you're like, oh, I'm really looking for that singing in the rain chemistry. Bing Crosby has no chemistry with anyone, though.
I don't think so. Like, watching it
to me that he was a huge star.
I think what it was is he became a huge star on radio. And then I think he was sort of transitioned to movies. And the thing too is, like, while watching it, I was like, yeah, he's not a star, but he does, like,
Bing Crosby's not a star. This is a newsflash.
He doesn't have that like jump off the screen charisma, but he executes it all. Like, he does all the dance moves. Like, he sort of like keeps up. So in that way, you can sort of see, like, okay, he's got that voice. And of course, White Christmas is such a colossal song anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I found it like, the numbers were really fun. There was a few moments where I was like, oh no, like when they get, I'm sure we'll get to it, but when they get to like the salute to minstrel shows, I was like, oh dear. But luckily they didn't go blackface with it.
Well, then I was like,
a very low bar.
For 1954 though, not crazy.
We also watched Holiday Inn, which does have a very insane, horrifying, even for the time, number. And I was like, oh no, did I make a mistake? Did I choose it? But I was like, no, I was right. White Christmas just alludes. It just skirts around the cul-de-sac and then.
Right. I do think both of those movies, I think I read that it's the same set, which is why a lot of times they're easy to get confused.
It looks like the same set.
Yeah.
Yeah. It
exactly
totally
like
looks
the same
like the
set.
Same set. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I found it like charming, definitely as like a relic. But sort of fun. How about you, Mark? Where do you land on?
I'd never seen it. I thought it was a sequel to Holiday Inn my whole life. It turns out I was wrong. So
very
I know
common.
Sort of right.
I guess a spiritual sequel. So I had never seen it. And I thought it was bad. I thought it was boring. I love the dance. The dancing is the best part. I think these songs are like a slog. Like even these, I didn't think Irving Berlin put it to bed.
The snow song, song in the beginning.
No, get over snow. God, who cares? Jesus.
Astonishingly banal.
Very bad. It was also in my research that was repurposed. The song, the lyric was originally Free. And then they were like, from a show or movie that never happened, they're like, oh, let's snow scans. Let's just make it about snow instead. But yeah.
And it seemed to be like they were making up the plot. Like, first we got to go put on a show, but then they happen to be at their general's place.
Yeah,
and like, he needs money. So let's put on a show to say, so we'll have 100 people put on this show. Why don't you just give him money instead of putting on this show?
Yeah,
and then there's more people in the show than it's a show about, not so much raising money, because there's more cast members than there are audience members.
Sure.
And then it's about making the general feel better in the end.
Yeah, which is nice, but yeah.
And because towards the end where they do that whole party for him and he's like doing this long walk, I was like, we're at an hour 50. Why are we still going? Like, it's like
dealing with his general.
Give us the number and let's get out. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the general, I will say, has a fantastic head of silver hair.
Absolutely.
Just an enviable head of silver hair.
Although it looked to me like someone in high school playing an older person with, like, we're just going to put baby powder in your hair.
Totally. 100%. Yeah. Well, the whole thing to me is like Irving Berlin, like, got underwater on a mortgage and is like, I'll just rewrite all these songs. Like, right. It just feels very... Well, my favorite character, obviously, in it is Vera Ellen, who, like, I had never seen before, and she's great. I can't remember what show I saw with you. John and I, dear old friends, and we used to take me to see, you'd give me a pot cookie, and we'd see shows in New York, and I can't remember what, maybe it was High Fidelity? We saw a preview of some show that I'm not sure how long it lasted, but there was a number that was, like, didn't forward the plot or anything, but the woman was working so hard, and you look at me and you go, she knows this is gonna get cut, and like, and that's what I thought about Vera Ellen the entire time. She's like, it was like Gina Gershon in Showgirls. She's like, I'm in a dog, and I'm gonna dance my fanny off. Like, it was really unbelievable. She's in a completely different movie than everyone else.
Absolutely. Part of what might contribute to that is that initially this was not supposed to be Danny Kaye. It was supposed to be Donald O'Connor, who we all know from Singing in the Rain, who's more of a dancer than Danny Kaye. When Donald O'Connor, for whatever reason, had to drop out. So Danny Kaye came in, and he wasn't the dancer, the Donald O'Connor. So that's why Vera Ellen has three big numbers where some guy in the ensemble, who we never know his name, he's referred to as John or Johnny. We don't know his name. We don't know, like, what he's about, what he's there for, but, like, he just is her dance partner.
He can match her.
It should have been Danny Kaye, like, Danny Kaye's character should have been that, which would have made more sense.
Okay, that makes total sense.
Yeah. But also, I'm sure she was like, I have to, you know, do these romantic scenes with Danny Kaye, and he refuses to take off his pinky ring. So where is this going?
It's problematic. And his character is like, the whole thing with his character is, he's like, I'm a little too afraid to get married. And you're like, is that what?
Is it fear?
Is it fear? Or is it?
It's just a lack of interest.
Just a pure lack of interest.
Well, let's get into it, Jackie. As you may or may not know, we are looking for the gayest movies ever. So we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge them. So we're going to go through a ton of categories. And at one point, you are going to come up with a category, and it will be
added to the wheel.
Does that make any sense right now? No, but it'll make sense when we get to it. Stop worrying about it. God. Anyways, this is our current top five gayest movies ever. So number five with an 89.03%, The Wizard of Oz. Number four with an 89.70%, The Apple. Number three with an 89.81%, Rocky Horror Picture Show. Number two with a 92.99%, The Bride of Frankenstein. And number one, current gayest movie ever with a 94.83%, is Female Trouble.
Yeah. So, Jackie, if you had a guess right now, where do you think White Christmas is going to end up? Like, how do you think it's going to do?
It's 1 to 100, right? Like, the scoring system?
Mm-hmm.
69.
Nice. That's disgusting, you know? This is a family program.
Your in-laws may listen to this, Jackie. I hope you're happy.
They won't know what it means.
Right. I have to burn it on a CD for them.
Ah. I mean, I'll have to explicitly describe it.
Our first group of categories are the canon categories. So for these, we're each going to give it a score between 0 and 100. Then we'll take the average of all three of our scores. So the first category, Jackie, how would you score White Christmas on a scale of 0 to 100 in actual gay characters? Is there anyone actually gay in this movie?
No one comes out.
No one. Some. There's enough chorus boys. There's got to be some.
I mean, definitely.
Yeah, but no one. Yeah. And there's no actual gay person in them. I mean,
I always assumed, like, I had heard, I thought, oh, Danny Kaye is like gay. But then you do research and like, oh, he's not. There's no actual proof of that.
There's long speculated rumors that he and Laurence Olivier had a long
affair.
Yeah,
but people, I looked into that very specific thing and like it's like one person said something. And like,
oh, really?
There's no docu, there's nothing to like back that up, unfortunately.
That's the
trust me, I want
rumor,
to know.
Right?
What'd you say?
It's the airport security rumor.
I think so.
What? What is
I forget
that rumor?
The details of that.
So this is something I don't even know when I learned it. I agree with you. Couldn't find any documentation on it. But I had heard this rumor. And again, I used the internet, couldn't find any documentation. But that Danny Kaye and Laurence Olivier were lovers, and that Laurence Olivier was flying internationally, and he had like whatever the equivalent of the TSA at the time pull him aside, and he got into a uniform and gave him a strip search as like a fun little role playing thing, but like at the airport.
But that's intense role playing.
Yes, I also grew up with the rumor that in the Dukes of Hazzard, Luke Duke was played by a hologram. Huh. And I've never had anyone confirm that. I think it was a rumor only in my middle school.
There's no documentation denying that. So,
yeah. I agree.
That's fine. I must have done different keyword searches because I found a lot of people saying like, yeah. And then also I went a little deep on this whole Danny Kaye, Laurence Olivier thing. And what tickled me the most was apparently Noel Coward was very jealous of Danny Kaye because he and Laurence Olivier had also had a dalliance for a while. So he was sort of always shady to Danny Kaye, which I thought was delightful.
That is delightful. That's great.
That'd be a fun brunch, those three.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so what do you want to give this for actual gay characters?
A zero.
Brutal. Yeah.
I think because of all those chorus boys, I'm going to give it a 9.
A 9. Yeah, I'll give it a 8 for the chorus boys. Giving it a 5.67, which is very low, but it's higher than Eat, Pray, Love, which only got a 1.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, our next category, drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch White Christmas and come away with a whole book of ideas?
1 million. Percent.
Yeah.
1 million.
I mean, Edith Head did the costume, so there you go right there.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, the costumes, although I will say, Rosemary Clooney, I get a lot of questions. I did.
Okay.
She only looks good on stage, right? Like all of her other outfits are a little dowdy.
True, but. Yeah.
Yeah. Come on to my house. How about we come on to the mall, Rosemary? Get you a new look. I did think like cigarette girls. You don't see there's a cigarette girl in one shot. It's like, oh, that's a fun thing where you don't see anymore.
Those are cute. Yeah.
Fun drag look.
I also thought the number, the Vera Ellen's big number, Mandy, I thought every rusical on RuPaul's Drag Race is trying to be this number.
I agree.
Like it was just like her and a bunch of boys and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, this is what RuPaul's trying to capture.
There's also a moment where Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye lip sync for their lives.
That's true.
In the sisters
they do,
number.
And they're in drag. I mean, it's a very, you know, sort of.
It's more men in dresses than drag, but yes.
They're not even wearing dresses. They just roll up their, apparently they roll up
they
their
roll
pants.
Up. Mm-hmm.
And they have a scarf.
I think they have makeup on too.
They do a little bit, yeah.
They have makeup, yeah. And Danny Kaye, it reminded me of, do you remember, John, we did comedy with a person who had this like, he was doing this character where he was dressed as a woman. And we were like, this person has really tested. But Danny Kaye in the sisters number reminded me of our friend who performed in drag, who just like came alive. And like Tyler Perry as Medea. I'm like, you just seem so happy and comfortable with this like freedom you've allowed yourself. Like, right. You know, even like Bing Crosby is like kind of laughing, like, wow, you really are enjoying yourself. Huh? Like it's just, there is like a real lightness to that moment. I do enjoy.
It almost became Some Like It Hot for a brief second, this movie could have gone on a completely different direction. Mm-hmm.
That they, it could have been like they murder Rosemary Clooney and Vera Ellen.
There you go.
Nice.
We are the new sisters. There's also like Santa suits over army fatigues, showgirls, and then those the blue sisters look with like those giant feathered fans.
Yeah,
those sorts of things. Lots of gowns.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
And then the iconic, I do think I've like, I don't know the movie, but I know like those final like Christmas looks.
Are very, very, they should do like a Christmas season of RuPaul and just crib all
that. That'd be great. Yeah. All Edith Head. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you want to give this for drag queen inspiration?
I would give it 100.
100. Up there with Beetlejuice.
Yeah, I think this is, I mean, the looks are all so iconic of a certain era. So I'll give it a 95.
Yeah.
95. I think I'll give it 90 because to me, it's just those final like Santa looks pretty much. Everything else I felt was like kind of interchangeable, but maybe I'm an asshole.
It's all right.
Hey, it got an average of 95, which is about 64 points higher than Point Break. That's pretty good.
Okay, that makes sense.
That makes sense. All right. Our next category, gay icons. Any gay icons in this movie?
Icon is such a, I mean, Rosemary Clooney is up there, right?
Sure, yeah, definitely. There. Danny Kaye is huge.
Is he?
I mean, it's that.
I would say so.
I would say like they were huge in their time and maybe haven't quite as grown out of their era so much. But like at the time, at the height of their powers, they were like, no one was as, like Danny Kaye was as big as it got, is what I would say.
Huh.
Do you disagree?
I just don't, it just doesn't seem like he was really gay. So it's like,
I get what you're saying.
Was he just like effeminate? And that's why they thought, oh, he can like do musical theater. And that's made him an icon, a gay icon.
I feel like if I go into a gay man's house, there is a 30% chance I'll see something with Rosemary Clooney on the wall. There is a 0% chance. I think there's a 7% chance I'll see something with
Danny Kaye.
Danny Kaye. Right, yeah.
Like, no Vincent Price.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But also, I think Edith Head, a bit of a gay icon.
Absolutely,
I
would say.
Oh, that's good, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's smart.
Thank you.
So how do we score this one then?
Just how would you rate it? Like if Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again is 100, although John would give it 95. What is White Christmas?
For gay icons.
60. I would say 60.
60.
60 sounds good. I'm going to go 65 though.
65. I'll go 60. Why not? Giving it an average of 61.67. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. Next category, the male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form? I wrote down one word, non-existent.
Yeah. It's not a horny movie overall.
That's what I was going to say. It is one of the least horny movies I've ever seen.
Yeah, like this is one they would show at like Christian conversion camps.
100%.
Yeah,
it's definitely like the equivalent of like a promise ring, like in high school.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, fashion-wise, there's a lot of like high-waisted pants, which I think really like forgives a lot. And also, I noticed in so many of like the rehearsal scenes, all the dancers are wearing like sweaters. And you're like, who?
Boo.
I know. There's no like secret like. Why don't we just have a beach number during Christmas and put everyone and all the guys shirtless? Like there really is.
What is the theme of this show? It's like, now here's a number about choreography. What is this show? Now we're a salute to minstrels show?
Yeah.
What is this? At Christmas?
It's just what, here are some numbers Irving Berlin had in his trunk and let's do them.
It's truly, he's like, I'm underwater on this market.
Yeah.
Pay me for all these songs we've already done.
And I'm underwater and I'm creatively bankrupt. Please help.
Just bankrupt.
I mean, bankrupt on every level.
Mm-hmm.
So what would we give this for the male gaze?
I would give it a 1.
A 1.
I will give it an 8 for that dancer whose name was John Brascia, the one who like danced with Vera Ellen and everything. I thought his clothes were very nicely tailored. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This would be very towards the bottom. Yeah, I think I'll give it a 2. Giving it a 3.67. All right. Our next one. Entrances with pizzazz.
We got a bunch. Vera Ellen has a bunch of them, like in all of her numbers.
Yes, I would rate this high on that. I'm also, I know this isn't exactly what you're saying, but there's also a lot of snooping, which I feel like is a little
gay. Yeah. This is a bigger Snoopy movie than it is a Christmas movie.
It's much more of a snooping movie, yeah. No, I think there's some great entrances. And who's the gal that plays the maid who's in Sister Act?
Oh, Mary Wiggs.
Yeah, so she has a lot of like, yeah. entrances.
Actually, should have mentioned her in Gay Icons.
We definitely should have mentioned her in Gay Icons.
We should have.
Now we did.
Maybe,
so.
Yeah, I would take it up, although I gave it a pretty high score.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. White Christmas is fine. Don't you worry.
People are still going to watch it. But yeah,
I mean,
Vera
Sisters
Ellen,
one, anytime you're revealed behind a fan,
that's always fun.
Yeah, that's
she
good.
Comes up mm-hmm. on an elevator more than once, Vera Ellen. And then I also love that in the number choreography where we just, her foot comes down. We just see
I
her foot
that.
For a little bit. That was
she
great.
Puts her foot down.
Like, where's she been? Mm-hmm. Just hanging
it
out the wings.
It definitely feels like, I don't know anything about the director, but it feels like it's like very competent, but very like lackluster.
He also directed Casablanca.
He did.
I think so. Yeah, I'll double check.
He's directed some bona fide classics.
Mm-hmm.
But this one also felt like a paycheck for him.
Sure, big studio like, picture.
He did it.
Yeah, Casablanca, The Adventures of Robin Hood, and White Christmas. Those are his top three on IMDb. Wow.
This was the Black Widow of its day. So, what do you want to give it for entrances with pizzazz?
I would give it an 85.
85.
I'll go 90 because we also even have like the general like coming in at the end. And everyone
yeah, don't be good. General. Mm-hmm. No one's worried about like people who are privates and like don't have the general's wealth, don't have an inn to rely on, who are also out of the war and feeling bad. No one cares about them. Where's the private show?
I also was like, why are they so obsessed with these general? Like, don't they have PTSD? Like, why are they? Like, what did he do to them?
Right.
Felt like there was some Stockholm syndrome going on.
Yeah. I'll give it a 87. Giving an 87.33, which is 14 points higher than Conan the Barbarian.
Oh.
Not bad. All right. Next category. Hell on Heels. How is this for feisty ladies?
I mean, we got Mary Wicks, who we just talked about. Rosemary Clooney sort of is, she's a tough nut to crack in this.
There was also that first showgirl who's like, charmed, I'm sure. Like she was,
oh.
And then she comes back
Barbie
at the
Chase,
end.
Yeah.
I wish I was getting married.
Yeah.
She like says her. Mutual, I'm sure, which I think
mutual,
is
mutual, I'm sure. Apropos of nothing.
No, that's pretty good. That was pretty good. The only joke in the movie.
Yeah. They also say in the
were a little feistier,
right?
Yeah, it could have used a little more teeth, but I think that's like the Bing Crosby of it all. Ooh, like Bing Crosby is like just a glass of milk, like that's.
And yet, in real life,
how much
he
milk
was
is
crippled
drunk in this
with.
Movie?
You know, you've never seen more people drink coffee backstage before they go on stage. You're drinking coffee, hot coffee.
At one point, Rosemary Clooney has a midnight snack of. A liverwurst sandwich
and buttermilk
and what looks to be a glass of buttermilk. I was like, what is and then you're like, you know, she gained so much weight in real life. Like
White Christmas set her on the wrong path.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you shouldn't shouldn't eat that late. B,
not that ever food. Right
ever that's a weird combo.
Well, they didn't
and
have kombucha then
milk. They did not. No. They didn't have keto ice cream, so no. She was at a loss.
Also, the sisters say, "Lord help the mister who comes between me and my sister, and Lord help the sister who comes between me and my man." That sounds like Hell on Heels, a motto almost.
Yeah. It just feels like you wanted to deliver it a little more. Like even when, I am going to score it a little low for feistiness, but
okay,
that's my prerogative. I'll give it a 33.
33.
I'm going to go an even 50.
50?
I think the women are all a little kind of no-nonsense-y. Mary Wicks is sort of that. I think Barry Chase is the woman who says mutual, I'm sure. I think there's like enough there that like none of them.
They're also bland and toothless.
A little bit.
It's a pretty toothless movie.
Yeah. It's more toothless than How I Trained My Dragon. Anyone get that reference? Nope. The dragon's name Toothless. I shouldn't have to explain it. I'm moving on. I gave it a 20. This is spiraling.
I think also the movie is How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh, yeah, there you go. What did I say? How I
trained my dragon.
That's a little more personal. This is how I train my dragon. All right, our next category, macabre. How macabre is White Christmas?
The most macabre thing to me was at the very beginning when he was singing White Christmas and you heard bombs going off in the distance.
That was pretty funny, but yeah, it was macabre. I think a song about longing for minstrel shows is fairly macabre. Like the good old days of the minstrel. Right. Just that number itself is like, you can't. It's like Jerry Seinfeld saying, like, doing a thing like, we used to be able to make jokes back in the day. You know what I mean? No.
Yeah. I also just think the whole, like, they're both entering into loveless marriages. Feels yeah. Pretty macabre.
A lot of alcoholism.
Right. The sequel to this movie is not a happy one.
It feels like all of the soldiers do have a sort of, like, trauma that they need to, like.
Absolutely.
And, like, the general is like, I know what I'll do. I'll get this, like, palatial inn. I have no idea what to do with it. It feels like there's a nice darkness to scrape out of here.
Sure. He's not that different from the guy, I forget his name, in Shawshank Redemption, who gets out, the old man, and then, like, hangs himself immediately.
Yeah, definitely.
It's the same. He works at the grocery store, so has to use the bathroom.
And then, right.
Also, a snowless ski lodge. That's macabre. Global warming.
Well, also to add to that, the very last scene, we're like, oh, it is snowing. That was asbestos.
Fun. That's why people lived like
know better then.
Barely 70.
That's when you could tell jokes and use asbestos for snow.
Yeah, the good old days.
Yes.
Also, a lot of rubble in this movie in the opening.
There was.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of rubble and snoop. More rubble and snooping than Christmas. So what do you want to give this for macabre?
I'll give it a 70.
70, one of the darkest movies you've ever seen.
I think despite all that we've mentioned, it is kind of still White Christmas. So I'm going to go 45.
45. Yeah, this is a glass of buttermilk. So I'll give it a 9.
But it's paired with liverwurst.
Wow, we are all over the place on this one.
Well, it got an average of 41.33, which is 0.33 points higher than Waiting for Guffman. Okay. All right,
love that it's just a little bit darker.
Just a little bit darker than Waiting for Guffman.
That's fine. That's fair.
All right, our next category, dramatic lighting.
I mean, there's some explosions
very much
at the
looks
beginning.
Like a 1950s studio product. Like, there's great, the sets are amazing, but it's all very much, this is what a studio picture looks like. They're not taking a lot of risks.
I wish there were better lighting. Like, right. I wish there were a little more. Like, even in her original Clooney's big number, it does sort of feel like they just turned the lights on in there.
Right, yeah. Even in the dance numbers, they're not doing much with lighting. It's just everything up.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing, there's no romantic. There's no, like, I love an old movie where it's like they're out, you know, they're sweating in the desert and the guy just looks so bedraggled. And then the woman is like, I'm like, that cinematographer loves her. I don't know if you guys read of course you did, the oral history of Legally Blonde in New York Times, but they had, the cinematographer was talking about how Raquel Welch like demanded her own lighting and demanded to wear a hat where she essentially built in a bounce board. So
wow.
She could get, and I was like,
that's old school Hollywood.
I was like, I was obsessed. I was obsessed. And this movie could have used some of that.
Some of that Raquel Welch energy. Mm-hmm. Would have done better on Hell in Heels. That's for damn sure.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So what do you want to give for dramatic lighting?
A one.
I'll give it an 11 for the explosions at the very beginning.
Yeah. I'll give it an 8. Given a 6.67. All right, next one, vibrato.
So for this one, in addition to literal vibrato, we also mean anytime they take a moment and they zhuzh it up, give you a little extra, more than it needs, but you'll like it.
I would say, so Mary Wicks is giving me that.
Yeah.
And I would say Vera Allen is giving me that. And everyone else is like, you want it out of 4, I'll give you a 4. Even Danny Kaye isn't going, like a little bit in that weird choreography number. He's
right.
Like, can I make these creepy faces? But there's not enough, like Rosemary Clooney and Bing Crosby are very monotone performances.
Definitely. Yeah, I agree. Like, it's not Danny Kaye-est performance. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. if you were to be like, oh, this is the one to watch, it wouldn't be White Christmas.
Which one should you watch?
I would say probably The Court Jester. That's where he has a tongue twister in that that is somewhat iconic.
We love an iconic tongue twister.
Tongue twister. So that's worth checking out for that. But yeah, I mean, like, he's very good in this, but he's not really going for it in the way that you expect from Danny Kaye.
In some ways, the stupid story that they seem to be making up as they go along is kind of vibrato. You know what I mean? Like, they're so uncommitted to the plot that that's almost a choice.
Sure. I think even they're like, rehearsal today at 2:00, full sets and costumes, and they do this insane number that you're like, this isn't a barn in Vermont? Okay.
But I do like how it becomes like a dream space. You know what I mean? How it becomes like, obviously Absolutely. It's bigger than it, but like, I think that's fun though, too.
Right.
And it's during Christmas, so everyone's left their families to do that.
Yeah. That's how true. Much are they spending on this production? It must be $1 million back then, $50.
It was nuts.
It's nuts. That's too much. So what would you give this for vibrato?
I'd give it a 40.
40.
I think because there is a lot of actual singing, I'm going to go 80.
80. I'll give it a 45. Giving it a 55, which is fine. All right, I'm going to move on. Our next category. Going to make up some points here, I feel like. Footwork. How would you rate the footwork?
There's a ton.
Tons of footwork.
I would rate the foot.
There's all the choreography. There's tap dancing. There's people dancing on point. There's marching. There's a whole lot of footwork going on in this movie.
It did really make me appreciate, they just show the dancing in long takes. And like, you can see their entire body. Hello, Rob Marshall. Hello, In the Heights. Show the goddamn dancing for once in your goddamn life.
Agree.
God forbid.
I'm the same. I'm a purist when it comes to that. I think he could have directed it a little bit more, but I agree in terms of the dancing. I love just being able to see the dancing.
Yeah. And they show
I thought that Danny Kaye Vera Ella number, I thought was great.
The best things happen while you dance.
Yeah. I thought that was a really super fun number.
Yeah. And that Vera Ellen, she got a lot of energy.
Legs for days.
Oh God, she is the tiniest person I've ever seen.
She's not singing though. Her singing was dubbed.
Yeah.
Yes, that I can understand. That.
And then it was funny to see like Rosemary Clooney can't dance, like her number in like the coconut or the carousel club. She's basically standing while there's a lot of dancing around her.
Oh yeah. I mean, but that was such a classic 50s move to be like one woman and four men backing her up. Because nothing really
She's
frames a woman
Dua
better.
Lipa.
Yeah.
She's the Dua Lipa of the
1954, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So what do you want to give it for footwork?
I would give it an 85.
85.
I'm going to go 96. I think there's so much of it. It's really fun.
96. What's keeping it from 100, John?
I love it.
Kind of uninspired all the way through.
A little bit.
Like, is there any one iconic dance? Like, you got to see this dance number from White Christmas. Like,
the best things happen when you're dancing. I think it's great. I do think the song... What was it called? Mandy? Like once we got past
her first number is amazing. I think
that's number is great.
Yeah, I think I heard both her numbers, but I know what you mean because you're like, there should be like where you think of a singing in the rain and you're like,
right,
like, there's 10 numbers in that are incredible.
Right. Each
you
number
know?
Is insane. Yeah.
Well, because
She's
none of it is like
too hard for the whole.
And none of it's like motivated by story or like character. It's all just
no,
like,
it's all rehearsals.
Dancing.
Right.
Yeah.
But also, okay, if we're going to sidebar and talk about numbers not motivated by a story that are still incredible, Pajama Game, where Steam Heat is a talent show in a union rally.
I know, it makes
there
zero
is a
sense.
Talent show in a union meeting. They're like, and now it's a talent show. And you're like, what are you talking about? And it's like, you can't cut it because it's so incredible.
Exactly.
But
anyone.
That is,
yeah. If you out of town, you'd be like, we don't need that number. But then you see that number and you're like, only an idiot would cut this number.
Only an idiot would cut that number. It is unbelievable. Sorry, Mark. We just screamed.
I haven't seen it. I don't know Pajama Game. I didn't know there was a union.
Oh,
that's the whole story. Is that the movie has Doris Day in it, right?
Yes.
This is a musical?
It's a musical. It's based on stage musical. It's all these workers striking because they want a 7.5 cent an hour raise.
So the themes resonate to this day.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's evergreen.
Wow.
The movie's great. And I remember, did I see it with you? I saw it with Kelly O'Hara and Harry Connick Jr.
Oh, right. I didn't see that one.
Oh, I thought you were you saw it with Harry Connick Jr. That's fun.
Yeah, he was like, hey, Jerry, what are you doing tonight?
Look, my husband's cool with us seeing shows together. We just see shows together.
Great. Well, I gave it a 90 in footwork, giving it a 90.33. All right. Our next category. This one might be tough. Spank bank deposits. Anything you're going to file away for the spank bank? There is one shirtless man way in the back when all the soldiers are backstage before they all walk out and parade themselves at the end.
Okay.
I think before I knew of a spank bank, like when I was like really little, I would like think of dances I want to do.
Okay.
So like in that maybe, but I feel like there is.
What were these dances?
Zero. I would just imagine, like, I'd see a good dance. Like, I would, like, see, like, Paula Abdul video, and I'm like, could I do that?
Cold-hearted. Could I dance with an animated cat?
Totally. I was like, MC Scat Cat, I could do that. And I would just do choreography in my head as, like, my preamble to fantasy life. So,
sure.
But I don't think there's any... I mean, I would love to meet the person that jerks off to White Christmas.
Would you? Would you really want to meet
that
person?
How do you bring that up?
Yeah.
Well, you put it on at a party. You don't put the sound on, but you see who's like...
Who gets...
You bring the lights down really low, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyone want a blanket?
I know it's really hot out, but you know. Yeah, I think it's pretty low. I think the most might be that dancer, John Brascia. Because his clothes are very well tailored.
Sure. And also the general's right hand man is kind of hunky. I don't think he ever says anything. But he has just like a guy.
Yeah.
That's all I got. So what do you want to give this for spank bank deposits?
You know, I'm going to go a little higher because you also may have like, say you grew up with a abusive father and Bing Crosby might bring something out.
You haven't processed that.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. And it's like, you don't want to, but you are aroused. It's not your fault. But,
yeah,
you know,
right. Yeah.
You're titillated by 26. Trauma. 26.
26.
I'll give it a 12.
12. You guys are very generous. I'll give it a 5. Pretty rough for me. Give it a 14.33, which is about 4.70 something points higher than Anti-Mame, if you can believe it. All right, our next category. All right, Jackie, on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend White Christmas to a gay person?
Oh, 70.
Really? That's up there.
Yes, I would heartily recommend this to a gay person.
Despite it not being good.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I feel like
there's good stuff in it, and it's also
great stuff in it.
Yeah, I agree. And there's also an element of it's not 100% because you're not like yes, see it. It's like okay, you have to set the table for them to be like it came out in the 50s. It's gonna be this. The story's not that great, but there are some fun numbers and this. You know, like it's more of like you're gonna lose yourself and love it, and more of like this is an interesting thought piece, as it were.
Just what I love
in a world where someone I told someone I was like I couldn't get into Succession. I watched like the first 4 episodes. He goes, give it the first 2 seasons. If you don't like it after that, I was like, I'm not doing that.
No,
I'm not giving a show 2 seasons.
No.
Right.
I agree. You set the pace. You're like just have you know. It's like or fast forward through the numbers here. I can give you the things to say. Have a little party, and then when the numbers come on, turn it up. Like I feel like you could. I also feel, and this may be a generalization. Gay people generally have a lot of time. So it's not the biggest thing.
We have antiquing to do. Gotta get there early before the snowbirds swoop up all the good carpet.
Well, you get there early, you get a coffee, you watch it on your iPad in the car while you're waiting for the place to open. It's not
smart.
The worst morning.
I can't imagine watching White Christmas in my car while I wait for the antique mart to open.
Really? It feels kind of great.
I don't know.
I'll give it a 70 as well. I think it's like it's 70. A good title. There's some great numbers in it.
A good title.
Hey, White Christmas. Like a,
yeah. Irving Berlin's White Christmas. Come on.
A horror movie called Black Christmas.
Yeah.
Now that's a movie.
See, yeah.
Now that's something.
You gotta watch Black Christmas. Yeah, first, you gotta watch White Christmas.
No. Yeah, there are better movies from the 50s that have better dance. Like, so I don't know. I think this was a real stinker.
Do you only recommend good movies?
Or so bad they're good. Like, this is just like, it wasn't even so bad it's good. It's just like right in the middle. So to me, I'm like, oh, it's not even like fun bad. It's just like kind of, I just found it like a, maybe because it was also 90 degrees when I watched it.
So, oh, it's crazy. Yeah. You could also play like a drinking game where every time they drink milk, you have to drink milk and bring over your lactose intolerant friends.
White Russians, sure.
Yes, exactly.
I'm going to give it a 20.
All right.
So I'll give it a 53.33, which is 2.70 points higher than Lady Bird. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Now we are into the wheel category.
So these categories are categories that past guests have brought in. We put them all on this wheel, which is an app on my phone.
Love it.
So we're going to spin it four times. Whatever category randomly pops up, that's how we will judge the movie. And after that, you will come up with the category, which we will add to the wheel. Remember that from earlier?
Great.
It all pays off. We set it up. It's just classic screenwriting. You set it up early, then it pays off later.
Okay, here we go. Cheerworthy cameos.
Cheerworthy cameos.
I would say George Chakaris in the number. He's one of the backup dancers in Rosemary Clooney's Love Didn't You Didn't Do Right by Me. He a couple of years later would win an Academy Award for playing Bernardo in West Side Story.
Oh, that is a good one.
All right.
I was excited.
Did you recognize him when you watched it?
I did.
You said, that's Bernardo.
I said, Bernardo was right.
Wow, I'm impressed. I mean, I shouldn't be, but it's also like, it's like when you bite in pizza and you're like, yeah, it's hot and cheesy and salty. And like, I'm like, this is like the quintessential John Flynn experience. So knowing that was delightful. Wonderful.
He loves sharing the fact that no one else is interested in.
Right. Oh, did you know that when he was cast in West Side Story, he was playing Riff in London? And so that's ironic fun.
Riff.
Oh.
He was playing the leader of the Jets when he got cast to play the leader of the Sharks in the movie.
Wow.
You wanted a fact that no one else cared about.
I love that. I just love that. I didn't recognize him.
Neither did I.
So I didn't see any other cameos.
There was this isn't a cameo, it has nothing to do with anything, but I guess it was maybe a thematic choice that every nightclub had like the same neon scripted writing, like of the name of it. Was that just like a thing in nightclubs back then? Like, oh, we got to have the name of the club written out in like a scripted neon letters.
It was probably just the department at whatever studio made this. There's just like, here you go.
All right, fair enough. Well, what do you want to give this for cheerworthy cameos?
I, inspired by John, will give it a 50.
50 for Bernardo.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we have a chorus boy who becomes an Academy Award winner. So I'm going to go 75.
75. I don't care for West Side Story, so I'll give it 25. giving an average of 50.
Okay.
Is this your favorite? Do you have a favorite Christmas movie, Jackie?
I think Die Hard is up there.
Sure. We reviewed that last Christmas.
We did. Yeah. Okay, here we go. From Batman Forever, over the top production design.
Over the top production design.
I mean, this is all over it. All the sets for the numbers, it's insane.
I would say so. I'd say this scores very high.
All the costumes.
But it's not like Douglas Sirk levels. You know what I mean? It's not like super high.
What are you talking about?
They're not like stylish, I think. They're just like kind of.
They're not stylish. Edith Head is not stylish to you.
That's the clothes. I'm talking about the sets. I think the sets are very like clip art. They're very like standard. There's nothing like, there's not a heightened reality to the
sets. Are you kidding me? They're doing these numbers supposedly in like a barn in Vermont. That's huge.
The barn staged Mind Palace. Yes, I would say.
Yeah.
But the barn itself, I
think the production design is way bigger and more over the top than Batman Forever. Absolutely.
You're insane. No. You're saying this is more over the top than Batman Forever, a movie that projects question marks everywhere. This is more over the top.
Absolutely.
They're just doing Courier and Ives and calling it a day.
They're doing these big production numbers with sets and elevators and whatnot.
No, they're not even better than like Singing in the Rain. No, there's better productions.
Oh, I love this argument. I agree. I don't think the production design is good, but it is over the top.
Right. That is the category.
You know, like, I do think, like, you're right. Like, it is, like, this mind palace where you're just like, what is hot? Like,
what is
this,
like, space?
What is the space? What is it in the women?
Where there's
movie
a
where they have like a 20-minute
fashion, yes, fashion show. Yes, fashion show.
It has that feeling where you're just like, what is happening? Did I like get dosed or something? Where yeah. I think a lot of like the spaces like become their own thing. I think I agree. It's not good, but I think it is over the top.
All right. So what do you want to give it?
I will give it a 90.
A 90.
I'll give it a 98.
98. I gotta give it a 65. To me, it's pretty standard 1950s Technicolor.
I would say above standard since gave it a 65.
There you go. Yeah, slightly above standard. Give it an average of 84.33, which is not as high as the Beastmaster, which got an 88 in the same category.
Oh. Okay, I think the wheel is on your side. Musical callbacks.
Well, White Christmas. Yes.
White Christmas, Sisters, that's a callback.
Sisters, yeah.
And the
Snow,
they do the twice. Dancing one again.
Yep, that happens when they the actual thing and then later at the party. There's a bunch of them. This movie loves a reprise.
Mm-hmm. So I'll give it a 90 for that.
90.
Yeah, I'll give it a 90 as well.
I mean, I'll go even higher because there's like four.
True.
Lucky, like in a... Aladdin, you only get the one. That's my only other reference for a reprise.
I think you get
giving it a 91.67. All right, spin that wheel, John.
One more time. Rye Smiles. Bing Crosby has a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much his like stock and trade, I feel like.
Yeah.
Vera Allen and Danny Kaye, they're constantly looking at each other, trying to hook these two nobodies up. Oh, it's working. I'm like, what is working? There's no chemistry.
Yeah, they're not screaming at each other, I guess. They're like tolerating each other. Maybe that was the goal in the 1950s marriage. You just tolerate each other.
They're not trying to kill each other.
They're not in a fist fight at the moment.
Ooh, it's working.
It's working. I see sparks. So what do you want to give this for Rye Smiles?
I will give it high. I would do an 89.
89.
I'll give it an 80.
80. We'll go 82. Giving an average of 83.67. All right, Jackie, the time has come for you to come up with a category that we can judge White Christmas and all the subsequent movies with. Any thoughts?
Okay, tell me if this makes no sense.
I hope it doesn't.
My category is, would Larry Kramer like this movie?
Oh.
I like it.
Notorious firebrand, Larry Kramer.
What would his thoughts and score be on this movie?
A very controversial figure. Mm-hmm. Would Larry Kramer like? Mm-hmm. Should he get all the credit for AIDS activism? Some say yes, some say no. Probably no, but not all the credit. Let's not get crazy.
A lot of it.
All right. Would Larry Kramer like, when it's come last week, the category we added was the Mike Pence anxiety scale. So these are almost like complimentary.
They're very,
this
good would
be very low. Very low on the Mike Pence anxiety scale.
Yeah. So what do you want to give this for? Would Larry Kramer like this movie?
Well, I don't want to answer my question first.
Okay.
Well, let's talk about it. So Larry Kramer, I don't know that I'm trying to think because he was such a,
He wrote Faggots.
He wrote the book Faggots and The Normal Heart, which was very like, let's deal with now. Let's talk about it. Like, it was very like, it was like born of his, a lot of his writing was just sort of born of anger. This glorious, righteous anger. So I don't know if White Christmas would be something that he'd be like, let's put this on.
But maybe he needed it as like a palate cleanser.
Right. I mean, I'm sure he would be like furious at Danny Kaye for not being out and for sort of not talking about his Jewishness either.
Yeah, and Larry Kramer was Jewish, so why would he like White Christmas?
I imagine that he would hate the movie.
Yeah.
But then anytime Rosemary Clooney sang, he'd be like, shut up.
Yeah, or he's like, Vera is dancing, quiet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so given that, I'll give it a 69.
Gross.
My favorite.
I'm not sure. I'll give it a 50. I'm going to play it safe. I don't know.
I want to give it a 69 because it's the funniest number, but I think I'm going to give it a 40 for the Larry.
40. Giving it an average of 53. All right. Now we are into the bonus categories.
So these categories, as their title, are bonus. So these are just extra points. If it doesn't do well, it's not going to work against the movie. So it's just 0 to 10. These are just bonus extra.
Okay.
Points.
And this first one, we're trying to come up with an alternative for musicals because the category is musical potential.
Oh,
I did think of fun because I'm trying to come up with an alternative category for when the movie is a musical.
Right.
And I thought there's one to pitch just like sequel potential.
That's a good one. I was going to say fan fiction potential.
Sure.
Oh, this has easy sequel potential.
I mean, people think it's a sequel as it is.
But yeah, a sequel to, will there be a third part of the trilogy? What would they be? I
guess what other holiday can we take advantage of?
But that is not the category. It's not, that right. is not set in stone. So it's still just musical potential, ultimately. Well, you saw the stage one. Was it the same plot? I use that word sparingly.
The one thing I remember is Karen Morrow, who's this old school singer. She at one point just stood center stage and sang the song, Let Me Sing and I'm Happy, which they have just a snippet of it in their sort of career montage. And it was just this woman alone on stage, 12,000 people, 8 different spotlights on her. And it was riveting. Like, she was incredible. She's one of those like old school musical performers who was like, just give her a spotlight and let her stand there and sing her face off. And she gives it to you. So like, that is what I remember from it. I don't think it is an overall great stage show. But
it would be fun to hear someone like a terrible singer sing, Let Me Sing.
That would be fun for like 45 seconds. And then you'd be like, we get the bit, move on.
It's Roseanne at the National Anthem.
Yeah, exactly.
That went well. Mm-hmm. So what would we give this for musical potential?
I'd give it 100.
Well, a 10.
0 to 10. We'll 10. Yeah.
Oh, so then I give it 10 tens.
10 tens. 10 tens.
I will also give it a 10 for musical potential.
Yeah, I guess I don't think it'd be a very good musical. Like, there's nothing.
Right. But again, we don't say a good musical potential.
Who cares? But I guess you got to give it a 10. But who cares? God, giving it a 10, tying it with The Sound of Music. Go figure. All right. Next category, queer menace. Any queer? I guess maybe when they're doing drag, maybe. But no one's like particularly menaced by them.
Yeah, it's more just like a silly, fun thing.
Isn't it funny that we're dressed like ladies? Isn't that funny?
Yeah, there's a little like, isn't this crazy that...
Can you believe this is happening?
We rolled up our legs, our pant legs.
Our wrists are limp. Crazy.
It also strikes me as crazy as how much of the number they got out. Because yeah. The whole thing
they did
is
literally
like,
the entire number again.
Entire number, and then took the fans off immediately. Like, there was no like Gypsy Rose Lee sort of like obfuscation. It was
right.
Where was the sense of play?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. Choreographer was just like, I don't know, just.
Well, that actually number was not written in the script, but they were just fooling around on set, and then the director was like, "Let's film it.
This is gold."
Mm-hmm.
The movie's not
improvisation's enough. Important. You got to have it on a set. You never know what you're going to find. So discoveries.
They do say Michael Curtis was the original.
What is the game?
What? Is that they're like, improvisation? Ladies. And the director is like, hey, that's funny. That's funny the way.
Funny.
It's like, sad that men are ladies.
I wanted to have this in Casablanca, but we'll put it in White Christmas.
Yeah.
So what do you want to give it for Queer Menace?
I would give it 4.
4.
I'll give it a 1 for that.
A 1. Yeah, I'll give it a 1. Give it an average of 2, which is 1 point higher than Point Break. And that has actual homoeroticism in it.
Okay.
All right. Our next category. Character actress makes a big swing. Well, there's Mary Wicks, but she's right in her element.
She's very much in her wheelhouse. I do think Barry Chase, who the Mutual, I'm sure. That's real funny. She's got like one or two lines and she's like, you're going to remember me when this is over. That's a big swing.
I feel like this movie is defined by lack of big swings.
I agree.
It's all punts.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's all punts. Yeah. Even with her, like even with some of the dancing, which is extraordinary, you're just, I would say it's 2 on big swings.
Like the whole movie is like, it's fine. Like nothing's outright bad about it, but it's also boring and bland. It's like tapioca. It's like a glass of buttermilk and a liverwurst sandwich. I mean, that is the movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you want to
also
eat
like
the movie,
it was the most successful movie of the year it came out, like by a mile, by like a huge margin. So I
and
think
the Eagles' Greatest Hits was the number one album for decades. That doesn't make it good.
I don't think you can dismiss it and just be like, it's just bad. Like, it's like a product of its time.
I didn't say it was bad. I said it was boring. Okay. And bland.
Well, I think anything that everyone in the family can watch is essentially a little bad.
Yes. And I think that was, I'm like, non-offensive. That's what it is. Yeah.
When you're trying to appeal to everybody.
I should never have chosen a film that I could watch with my in-laws. Like, the whole point is like I would have, like, hey, let's sit down with my in-laws and watch Female Trouble. Like, I'm like, that there we go. Would not work.
Now that's a weekend.
Now that's a weekend.
So, John, what are you giving it for character actions? Makes a big swing.
I'll give it a one.
A one. Yeah, I'm also going to give it a one. All right, our next category, witches. How witchy is this movie? I thought maybe the Showgirls, and also saying which foods will give you a particular dreams has some sort of a witchy element.
It's like a spell.
You know, mm-hmm. like if you want this to happen, eat, you know. I also don't like the idea of pre-made sandwiches kept in the refrigerator. Because, like, those are going to be stale, like, or the bread's going to be soggy.
Right.
Disgusting.
Movie witches in a nutshell. These sandwiches.
Even now, I just felt like such padded dialogue. Whoa, if you want him and cheese. And then it's like, what about liverwurst? If you dream of liverwurst. And it's like, there is no pattern. There's no punchline. There's no point.
And these are show people. They should know better.
They should have the rhythm, at least.
So
they did Vaughn,
yeah,
Bill.
It was terrible.
Doesn't show.
No. No, not at all. I would give it a zero.
A zero.
Yeah, I'll also give it a zero.
You know, I'll give it a one for saying which foods give you which dreams. Giving it a 0.33, tying it with Best in Show in which scales. All right, next area, gay actors playing gay roles. Well,
We could talk about this, but it feels like a zero. It feels like you want to be pretty.
Yeah, I mean, there's no actual gay roles and no one in it really has fully come out and said officially I'm gay. So
rumor mill aside.
Yeah.
So zero.
Feels like a zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
Feels like a zero because it is a zero. I'm giving it a zero as well. Tying it with I, Tanya.
Great. Uh-oh. Okay.
Oh no, sorry, Auntie Mae. I, Tanya got a 0.33. Very cool.
Didn't
all right.
Care for I, Tanya.
It's a little grotesque at times, I thought.
That's a good description. I like that.
Although they directed Cruella doing something, right?
Sure.
I still have not seen Cruella.
You know what? You could do worse. All right. So our next
it's
category.
More of a lack of time. More of a lack of time.
I get it. You don't need to run out to see Cruella. Our next category, themes of mothers. I mean, well, Danny Kaye on the date, he brings up motherhood in like 2 seconds on their date. Like, do you like kids? So you want kids.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I was going to say he does want Bing Crosby to have 9 kids so he can have 45 minutes to himself.
And get a massage.
What?
That's what he says. He's like, maybe I'll get a massage. I'm like, what is happening? Because then I was like, I picked the right movie. And then I was like, ooh, it gets boring. I mean, that was still pretty boring. I thought, ooh, maybe I remembered something. No, it was a bad movie. I would say, there's not a lot of mother. I mean, I'll give it a one.
Like, is there a theme of anything in this movie? Like, what is this movie about, ultimately?
I mean, it seems to be about honoring the general and that bond, because they keep saying, like, when they're about to go off one of these harebrained schemes, it's always like, oh, it's for an army buddy. So there's something about that, like that sort of connection or that bond, I would
honor
say, is like
the
a theme
past,
of the movie.
Like, honor people just who like, went, saved the world in World
yeah,
War
the
II,
people you
I
went
guess.
To war with. So I think that would be a theme of the movie, which has zero to do with motherhood.
And it comes up like 30 minutes towards the end.
No, they do it throughout. They sort of keep saying it throughout.
I fucking love this
show.
Well,
and that's like why they do the show, because it's for the general.
Yeah. Yeah. But for themes of mother, I'll have to go zero.
Yeah. I have to go zero.
I'm also going to go zero.
It's okay. All this right. is bonus, so it's not going to work against it.
Quit freaking out, Jackie. It doesn't work against it. Our next category, pearl clutching. Was anyone morally scandalized? Well, I think the general who doesn't want to celebrate Christmas at the beginning, when he's like, yeah. There's no Christmas in war. That's a general.
Right. It's sort of a straight clutching,
metal clutching.
Right. I think also like even just the guys doing sisters, I'm sure the people in the audience were like, oh, what is this?
Yeah, they never cut to anyone.
Yeah, it's inferred. Everyone seems to be having a good time.
Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, I would say zero. I mean, well, Mary Wicks is a little when she thinks that Bing Crosby is like turning against the general.
Sure.
Give it a 0.5.
Imagine the time when like people thought like, you can't be sad on TV and get sympathy. That's terrible.
Right. That was so
how
weird.
The world has changed.
Don't possibly put this on TV. How insulting. It's like, no, put it on TV. You'll be booked for years.
Yeah. I know.
There'd never be Extreme Makeover Home Edition if people still thought like that. So zero for pearl clutching jacket? Is that what you, or did you say 0.5? I'm sorry.
0.5.
I'll go a full one for pearl clutching.
A full one. I don't, I'm going zero. No, I'll go one for the general who hated Christmas. Where's here? Where's his movie?
There's right, your fan fiction.
There's my fan fiction. All right, next category, quips. How quippy is White Christmas?
There's one quip. I mean, there's no
mutual,
quip.
I'm this sure.
Mutual, I'm sure is, and it's early enough where you're like, ha, 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 that's it. That's it. 2 hours. I would give it a zero.
What about the general? That sergeant will be a private in the morning. Yeah. Isn't he lucky?
I guess. There's a few little, at one point, I think Vera Ellen, or I don't know if Vera Ellen said to Rosemary Clooney or vice versa, but someone, they're asking for money and said, oh, did you leave it in your snood? Which in case you didn't know, is like a hair piece that you have for long hair that like keeps it in like a little basket.
Funny.
I mean, you know, we're scraping.
This is buttermilk as ever worst. Yeah.
The bottom
Noel
of the
Coward
stocking.
Did not get a,
he did not do a pass.
Get
this
a hand of this he did not do a pass.
Oh, Danny Kaye's in this movie? That. No. You will not be getting a Noel Coward.
He de-quipped it. He de-quipped it. Put them all out.
So what do you give it?
I'm going to give it a, I'll give it a one.
A one.
I'll do one as well.
Yeah, I'll give it a one. Pretty rough. Giving it a one. Tying it with I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry. All right, now we are into the iconic categories.
Okay, so these are more broader, bigger umbrella categories. We're back to zero to 100. You'll see.
Okay.
All right, the first one, homoeroticism. How homoerotic?
Okay, there's one thing I noticed at the very beginning, which made me excited for like maybe there would be more of this throughout the movie. But at the very beginning, after Bing Crosby first sings White Christmas, then they talk about the general. He says, the old man's moving towards the rear. That's a position he's never taken in his entire life. And I was like, okay.
And
retire and become a bottom. Nothing. And then that was it.
Wow. That's homoerotic to you?
That was what I started with. And that's all I got.
It was downhill from there.
Yeah.
Something homoerotic about entertaining the troops. I mean, just the, I'm going to go entertain the troops, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
But
yes, yes, I agree. But to me, like my disappointment in choosing this movie is like, you want a movie like a Top Gun or something where you're like, do they know how gay this, like there right. is a lot of like sexual tension and it's like, but this is like an old fashioned view of gay where it's like, they're singing and dancing. Like it is like, yeah. So it's gay, but it's not homoerotic. There's nothing, no. There's no, like there's nothing.
Everyone's a
Ken
doll.
There's no sexual engine.
There's no eroticism, period.
Right.
No, not. It is a fuck-free zone.
This is a fuck-free zone.
It's a fuck-free zone.
Though I did wonder if the four of them, like the two couples, like, are they going to like have an orgy at the end of this?
No.
Do they just
if
explode?
They do, it'll be tears. No one will enjoy themselves.
Yeah. Well, and like Danny Kaye is comically afraid of kissing.
Right.
Which is problematic. And not that you're supposed to kiss during orgies. It's
you are not supposed to kiss during orgies. No. Please read the handout before you enter. And take off your shoes.
Yes. See, I always thought it was leave shoes on, no kissing, because you want to be able, you don't want to step in anything.
You want to have grip.
Yeah, you want to grip. Mm-hmm.
So what do you want to give White Christmas and homoeroticism?
A one.
A one out of 100?
Yeah.
All right, great.
Go three.
Three. I'll go two and split the difference. All right, our next category, over-the-top wardrobe.
I mean, there's a ton of
them. You can go a little high on those.
I think definitely.
Those crazy, that one number when all of a sudden they're in those like oversized bodysuits. Like this is what
that
people
was,
looked
yes.
like after the war.
Gee, I wish.
That
wish,
I did love.
That was great.
So weird.
And literally was over the top of their wardrobe. It went on.
That's true. That's over the top.
I also love any Hollywood depiction of this time of like modern dance makes me laugh. Like, yes. Like, is this what you think it is? That's kind of cool.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I think wardrobes are the part of this movie that it's like, it got right.
It's part totally. Of the movie I have no like, notes on, really.
No notes?
Almost no notes. Yeah. I would have some notes on Rosemary Clooney's daywear.
Okay.
I think she's a little like, she like it feels like at the fitting, she kept saying, but I'm from Kentucky. Like, you know, like where she just wouldn't go there.
Sure.
Sure. I also thought it was just that during the, I don't know if this is like a dancing thing, but like a lot of times the shoes would match like their entire suit. Like Danny Kaye had the same color shoes as his like suit.
That was a wardrobe choice. It's not a dance. It does not make you a better dancer.
I don't know if that was like, is that just what dancers do? But I would think you would want your shoe.
I thought it was supposed to elongate you.
It depends on what you're trying to do. But like the classics are what Michael Jackson, where you have a shorter cuff. So you could have like the white socks that brings your eye to the foot.
To pop your feet.
Yeah. So it sort of goes to there. But Danny Kaye, it was actual something that I read in the IMDb trivia where that was a choice where like his shoes and socks and outfit always was the same tone. I don't know what that tells us costume wise, story wise, but that was,
I thought it was weird. To do.
Well, if he's not a dancer, it keeps your eye away from the foot.
That's don't true. Look at this.
Look at his face.
I'm just guessing.
Sure.
So what do you want to give this for over-the-top wardrobe?
I would give it an 85.
85.
I'm going to give it a 95. I think the wardrobe is great.
95. Yeah. Wardrobe's fun. It's almost as good as the dancing. And the dancing's okay. So I'll give it a 77.
Okay.
Giving it an 85.67. All right. Now we're into the last one in the iconic categories. Camp factor. How campy is White Christmas?
I mean, they sing a song about snow.
Yeah, I wish it were campier. Yeah. I feel like camp, I mean, this is whatever. We can debate this all. I just wish it were a little.
I wish it was funnier. I wish the songs were better.
Yeah, a little crazier.
I wish there was some emotion at all in the movie. Yeah.
I'm more mana. Yes. I think if everyone, like, to me, Vera Ellen should be. The
starting
most
point
game in the movie. The yeah. starting point. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. I mean, I think this is sort of like the Bing Crosby effect that sort of kept it lower.
I would give it a 40.
A 40.
A 40. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Although that they do sing a really long song about snow. So I'm going to go 50.
50.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to go higher because a lot of the wardrobe is kind of like really campy and fun. So I'm going to go 65.
65. I got a quick list of campy things I noticed. Here we go. Christmas movies themselves. Fake painted backdrops in front of other fake painted backdrops, which are intended to be real. Not waiting 2 minutes to trot out the titular song, singing troops. Sincerely using the word boffo. Bickering in a dressing room. Stalling an angry landlord. Wanting to wash your hands and face and hair with snow. Putting on a show to save your generals in. Rehearsing a number called choreography has got to be confusing. A surprising amount of people staring into the camera. A cake decorated with a tank. Bored-looking child actors, and finally forcing an audience to sing along.
That's a good move.
Hey, I'll give it a 35. Given a 46.67.
I love that lift. It's so long. And then you're like, I'll give it a 2.
I've seen campier as I put out a cigarette. All right, now we are into the crown jewel.
So these categories, we don't rate them. We all agree it either gets it or it doesn't.
Okay.
So the first one, a 15% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality.
Zero.
No, I don't think it gets it.
No way. Get out of here. All right. Finally, negative 50% of all the points if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so it will not lose 50% of its points.
Last time we checked.
It is not Boat Trip.
All right. That's it. We're done.
Jackie, we did it. We've reached the end. So now do you still think / hope we got 69%?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think we did.
All right.
All right. I will tell you.
I will ask you. So I want to know the score and then I want you to tell me if any movie got 69.
All right. I was one thing at a time. Okay. Yes, but I will. Okay. So out of a total possible 2,162.08 points, White Christmas has scored 1,207.75, giving it a percentage of 55.86, making it the 61st gayest movie. Not as gay as Gremlins, but gayer than Beetlejuice. So there you go.
All right.
And I feel
I'm
about
surprised
right.
It's gayer than Beetlejuice.
It's gayer than Beetlejuice. But Beetlejuice
a lot more choreography.
a weirder scale.
Yeah, there's the choreo, the dance. Without dancing, this would not be a movie. It would be nothing.
It
would be nothing.
You want to know what movie scored 69.01%?
I would love to.
Cruising. Appropriate.
That delights me. That just absolutely delights me. That is so great.
At the very least, we got that right.
Just a little bit more than
that. I mean, truly. Oh my gosh, you guys are doing God's work.
That's what I've been telling my mother, but she still doesn't know what a podcast is. And she was on one.
She was.
Well, Jackie, what a delight.
So much fun.
Thanks for bringing in this movie that even you don't like.
I am sorry about that.
That's all right. I've seen worse.
Oh, God. Yeah, I've definitely seen worse.
Is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
Oh, no, thank you. No.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Recoiling at the idea.
No.
That's not for you.
I'm just a mom.
You're just a mom.
I'm just a mom.
Take care of those kids.
No, thank you for having me. This was delightful. I do wish I brought you a better movie. I apologize for that.
Well, you can have a triumphant return if you want to, if you need, if we could do it, start a redemption arc for you.
There we go.
Right. Okay, it begins here.
Yeah, this is a bad movie. It's a bad. That's the thing is, I guess it's like, but I hate the movie, and then they dance, and I'm like, oh, maybe I like this movie, you know?
Right.
Really do like a lot of the dancing.
You got to get through a lot of like liverwurst and buttermilk to get through the dancing.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Well, I appreciate you guys being patient with me.
No, you were a true delight. Thank you so much. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Two Old Queens, TWO Old Queens. Follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the current movie rankings.
Yeah, so you can email us at twooldqueens, twooldqueens@gmail.com. Let us know what you thought, what we got wrong. Do we mess something up? Do you have any thoughts of what we could do for potential to be a musical? If we want to change that for things that are actual musicals, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. We also have merch. If you want to support this podcast, you can go to TeePublic and search for Two Old Queens. There's a lot of fun stuff you can buy there for yourself and your friends. And a portion of all the proceeds go to the Okra Project. So you're not just buying merch, you're helping people out. And finally, if you want to support this podcast, we have a Patreon as well. Two Old Queens, The Retirement Plan, where we do another episode every week. Lots of fun projects and movie stuff. And yeah, all that great stuff.
And that's it. We'll see you next time. We don't know what the movie is, but you know, we'll post about it.
You're going to love it.
It's going to be great. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
And may all your Christmases. Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Conrad Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Goodbye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too.
Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.